Every time I think of Brother Pannucci, it always reminds me of a talk that he gave about his visitation to Guyana. And really, he reminded me of Paul. And with that introduction, I expect Brother Pannucci, do your job as Paul.
Thank you, Brother Lennon. I'm not worthy even to shine the shoes of the Apostle Paul. And I can see that I have a job here this afternoon, that is to speak to you and keep you awake. With all my heart, brethren, I really enjoy this convention. The hospitality and the love of you, brethren, has been beyond a word that I can express. All I can tell you, brethren, that I love you with all my heart. And there is no privilege greater than to be with the Lord's people, those of like precious faith. When I look at you, brethren, in you I see the faces of our dear Master, because you love the Lord. And I love the Lord. Our name is not written in any book, in any register. And what brings us together, brethren, is the love that we have for one another. I have something, brother, for this afternoon, which has been very precious in my heart. And I'm sure it is also precious in your heart. And there is the desire to see God face to face. And the title of our humble presentation, brethren, is Pure Heart. Pure Heart. It is based on the word of our dear Master, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 8, we said, "Blessed are ye pure in heart, for they shall see God." It is the greatest honor and hope of every consecrated Christian to see God face to face. And also, beloved Master, what an honor this is, brethren, to see the greatest God of the universe. We always pray to our Heavenly Father. We talk about our Heavenly Father. We thank our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father has been in our heart for many years. And it is our desire to see our Heavenly Father face to face. From the book of Psalms 139, verse 23, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." Why is the heart mentioned in the Bible so many times? How important it is, the little organ of our body. This little engine that weighs less than a pound pumps blood continually in our hearts, in our body. It never sleeps, never complains about the weather, never seeks social pleasure, in a vast for vacation. How much do we depend on our hearts? If one eye is blind, perhaps we can see with the other eye. If the ear is deaf, we can turn our head and listen with the other ear. Our earthly existence depends on the function of the heart. And there is this little precious little organ of our body that the Lord wants us to keep pure and give it to Him. The heart represents the will, and there is the controlling power of our lives. Those whose wills and intention are pure, those who faithfully fulfill the vow of consecration, they shall see God face to face. We are reminded by the Scripture that the created universe is able to read the thoughts and discern the intention of our heart. Yes, the Lord hears everything we say and every move we make. To realize this, it should cause us to be very careful in everything we say, in everything we do. And let us pray as David did, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. No wonder the prophet in Proverbs 4:23 wrote, keep thy heart with all diligence, what I eat are an issue of life. And I like the modern translation, which reads, above all you gods, watch over your heart, for out of it are the sources of life. This means that our words come out of the mouth, reveals the heart condition. We as a Christian have learned many lessons in the Scripture. And even though we don't see God with our visual visions, we can see God in our thoughts, in our mind, in our thinking. But on the other hand, if we expect to do these things, we have to have a close communion with our Heavenly Father. Never be ashamed to go to Him. Never. He's very close to us as we are close to Him. But if we expect such a remarkable measure of love and care towards us, we must have a clean hands and pure heart, pure intentions in our service for the Lord, and the brethren shall always be in harmony with His will. To feel God's presence with us is a great honor, but also it is a very serious responsibility. From the book of Psalms 101, verse 6, we read, my eyes shall be upon the faithful over the land, they that they may dwell in me, he that walketh in me, he walk in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Again, we are reminded by the psalmist that only those who faithfully serve the Lord, who are the object of His special care, and may dwell with Him. How precious the thought that if we endeavor with all our hearts to know and to do the Lord's will, it means that we are to dwell with Him in the secret of His presence. And this, after all, is where we want to be. We know that no human being ever seen God. And we can never visualize His glorious appearance. But His love and character is revealed to us through His beloved Son. And we know that from the teaching of the Scripture that Jesus possessed the same quality of a Heavenly Father. You remember that they asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." They wanted to see the Father. He said, "You see me, you see the Father." The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:27 expressed the thought beautifully when he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And it is the hope of a consecrated Christian to see God, not only God, but His glory. If we are faithful, until the end of our journey, we shall see God face to face. This is the glorious hope set before us in the gospel. It also serves an incentive to faithfulness in our ministry of the gospel as we continue to sacrifice the flesh in many ambitions and bring the message of the truth to others, because this is what the Lord wants us to do. You recall that Moses, how he wanted to see the face of God. Speaking of God, he says, and God speaking to him, or Moses speak to him, says, "I beseech you," Moses said, "show me thy glory." Would you ask the same question to God if you had the opportunity? "Show me thy glory." He wanted to see God. To this request, God responded and said unto him, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy of whom I will show mercy. Thou cannot see my face, for they shall no man see me and live." In this statement by Moses, we notice two beautiful points. First, the Lord spoke to Moses in a language that he was able to understand. And this is the way the truth should be presented. We're not to give people pills or let them swallow the pills. Our presentation of the truth has to be logical, has to make a sense. Because God spoke to Moses in a language he was able to understand. And second, illustration was used by the Lord in a beautiful pictorial language. And perhaps the key to this remarkable statement made by God to Moses has been the assertion which he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus 33:18-23. Actually, it is the goodness of the Lord that reveals Him to us, in the sense that we are able to see and understand some of His wonderful aspects of His character. In addition to this, the Bible helps us to grasp more fully the idea of our Heavenly Father's love, His love for His people, in the symbolic reference by His eyes, His ears, and His arms. This does not mean that God possesses eyes and ears and arms like us. But by the use of this symbolic language, so to speak, we are given a very clear concept of Heavenly Father's power and also His intimate love to us. just as we see with our eyes, and we are aware of what is taking place within the range of our eyes, so the Creator knows what happened to us. Why? Why? Because we are always within the range of His visions. He sees everything we make, every place we go, and everything we say. In the book of Proverbs 15:3, we are told that the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and also the good. This is very encouraging, because what the Lord is telling us is that no matter where we are or what circumstances we are always within the range of His visions. Therefore, He sees the good, and He also sees the evil. He knows the circumstances for which are favorable to us as a new creature, and also see the influence, evil influence, which is present against us. This means that the Lord is always aware of the difficulties which we are confronted with. And any effort which will be made by the adversary to discourage us or to hinder our progress in another way, the Lord, you can rest assured that the Lord will use His mighty power to prevent it when it is necessary. God has the ability to search our mind and to discern the thoughts and intention of our heart. We should be very careful to keep our thoughts and motives pure. God's loving care for His people are brought further to attention in the Bible by many references of His ability to hear when we cry. Oh yes, there is a time we will cry. And we want to know, really, where the Lord forgot all of us. But remember, His everlasting arms are always on our side. Always on our side. From the book of Psalm 37:17, we read, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hear it, and deliver them out of their trouble." How wonderful this is in a moment when our faith may not be so strong as it should be. We might temporarily wonder if the Lord really knows the degree of our trial, or whether He's actually caring for us in that situations. But we have assurance that His Word, by His Word, that He sees every place, and understand every situation, and able to care for us. All we need to do is to continually be faithful, walk the narrow way, and never be ashamed to go to Him and talk to Him in our prayers. He never sleeps. He's always on our side. You know, our relationship to our Heavenly Father is so intimate through prayer, and we can approach our Heavenly Father anytime, no matter where we are. We are told that when a baby is born, he sees very little with his eyes. But he can turn his little head towards his mother's face by the sound of her voice. And when the mother makes contact with her baby, then the love binds them together. From that moment on, mentally, the mother never sleeps. She can almost hear every sound that the baby makes. It's amazing. We are told that when the baby touches the mother, it makes possible for the baby to develop a sense of love, care, and trust. Even the touch of his skin against his mother's skin, according to the doctor, claim that it stimulates the production of milk. Is our Heavenly Father different? No. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father is the same way. Once we were two, we were blind, like a little baby. But He opened our eyes. And by the grace of God, through Jesus our Lord, can recognize when He talked to us, and we can recognize the sound of the truth. Yes, we love the Lord, the truth and the brethren, and He loves us in the same manner. In our mind, brother, we can feel His presence, and we know He's always on our side, and we can touch Him. Yes, we can touch Him. How we can do that? We touch Him through the truth, which the Lord has revealed unto us. In the meantime, we can rest in peace and remember that He's always on our side. He'll always be with us. The Bible does not attempt to explain what a God looks like. Oh yes, there are a lot of artists. They try to describe God. I don't know if ever you ever seen the Sistina Chapel in Rome with Michelangelo. The fresco means a fresh painting on the ceiling. Try to describe the creator of the universe. But this doesn't matter. The Bible does say that God is spirit. And added that those who worship Him should worship Him in spirit and in truth. In our mind, in our hearts, we can praise and worship Him. Not because we can see Him or conceive an image of Him, but because we love Him and have learned through the Bible many wonderful, glorious things concerning Him. The reality, the fact is that God is patient, compassionate towards us. And compassionate, strange it may seem, compassionate even with those who deny His existence, brethren, over such a loving God. But this it lost to His character and inspire us to love Him more and serve Him with our hearts and with our soul. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 wrote, it's a beautiful expression. He said, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here in this verse, the expression open face is more properly translated unveiling face. You may see your dialogues. What Paul is really telling us that with an unveiling face, we can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and they bar a change into the same image. What an honor this is. This is very interesting. You remember that when Moses, the mediator of the old law, covenant, found it necessary to put on a veil upon his face to hide his glory, when he appeared before the people. But when he went to the presence of God, he removed the veil, so he was with an unveiling face, that he enter into the presence of God. Then Paul put the church in the same relationship to the new covenant as Moses was with your covenant. That is, that Moses enter into the presence of God in a more literal sense than we do today. Then Paul said, we behold God's glory as in a glass, a reflection. What Paul is telling us is that the glory of the Lord is being manifest to us through His word of truth. And there is the reflections of God's glory that has transformed our lives, enable us to visualize His loving character. Yes, our life has been transformed by the grace of God. It is the hope of glory described by Paul, Romans 5:2, the glory of God. It is hope that helps us to lighten the trials of our narrow way and enable us to rest more fully in Jesus. But also it is necessary that we possess the spirit of humility and obedience, which was displayed by Jesus, and seek to have His mind dwell in us. It was a Jesus' deep humility in doing His Father's will that led Him to leave the glory which He had and humble Himself by being obedient even unto death. Yes, my dear brethren, we should be thankful to our Heavenly Father for touching our heart as He did with the leader of Macedonia, because we know that there is no one can come into the knowledge of the truth, no matter much preaching we do, unless the Lord touches their heart. Oh, if I had my chosen brethren, I wish to let all the Panucci's throughout the world to be member of the 144,000. But you know, it's interesting when you think of them. Of all my big family that I have here and abroad, me and my father, the only one too, that came into the knowledge of the truth. They're good people, nice people, but the Lord hasn't touched their heart. We have to wait for the millennium. We know that basically all the stress in the world today is sin and selfishness. Through science and invention, man has accomplished many wonderful things. But science and invention have not improved the human heart. Only obedience to the Messianic kingdom do this. Because God has promised. Notice what a beautiful promise we have in the scripture. Then I will turn to my people and give them their pure language, he said, that they may call upon me in the name of the Lord to serve me in one consent. Only the Lord can do that. Truly the bright hope for the future is given to us in the Word of God. How wonderful to realize that the things which today are distressing mankind and filling the hearts of the people with fear are actually signs which indicate that the blessings, only the blessing of the kingdom, will be the answer to their problems. Yes, it has been said that hope is a combination of desire and expectations. Why the hope? Hope is desire of combination and expectations. We may desire many things in life, But if we have no expectation to obtain them, we cannot properly hope for them. Yes, by nature, we desire many good things of the earth, just as the people of the world. But the Lord's people are clearly admonished to set our affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 1:3-4. If we wish to see God, brethren, our desires, our ambition of this world must be set apart. In order that we may do this, the Lord has given us many, many precious and revealing promises concerning the heavenly joy which serve us, serve it to awaken our desire to see God face to face. Because we have these promises, and because we firmly believe in them, that they will be fulfilled, then when we set aside all this ambition that we have in this earthly vessel for which we live, that's the only way that we can see God. And after all, brethren, how much you intend to live? 100 years? 90? You will leave all you have on this earth. You came into the world with nothing, and you're going back into the earth with nothing. But it is the heavenly promise that we have. We look, we desire the heavenly things. We have no ambitions. We have no desire for the things of the earth. We're looking for the glorious hope in the glorious kingdom to see God face to face. Paul in the book of Romans 12:12 wrote, rejoice in the hope. Then he says, rejoice in the hope, but he also says, patient in tribulations, continue in prayer. Here Paul reminds us that while rejoicing in the blessed hope to see our Lord face to face, the fruition of this hope depends upon our being faithful to all the conditions which are attached to it, which we know are affiliated with the Word of God. This means the necessity of being proved and tested. Also the necessity of being patient in tribulations. If we think rather than that we go up to heaven like a rose in a vase, it will not work. We must go through tribulation, trials, so necessary to develop our Christian life. And believe me, brethren, they are no rocking chairs in the kingdom. If you think that you're going to be part of the little flock and go into a rocking chair, you're mistaken. There are lots of work to be done to bring the people in harmony with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul brings to attention the glory associated with the inauguration of the law of covenant as he was seen on Moses' face, with the still greater glory to be displayed at the inauguration of the new covenant. He beautifully explained that we are made able ministers of the new covenant, and we will share in the future resplendent of that glory, of that new covenant. So therefore, our association with the glory of the new covenant is still future. It's indicated in verse 12, which we read, seeing then that we have such a hope, we use a greater plainness of speech. Then it is logical that we do not hope for something which we already possess. So the fact that we hope to share the glory of the new covenant as what? As a minister, it means that the new covenant is still future. So therefore, we do not hope for something that we already possess, if this is the case. But we are able minister of the new covenant. The new covenant. We also hope to be king and priest and to reign with Christ 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? Oh, it's a long time, isn't it? 1,000 years to reign with Christ, to bless humanity and bring them in harmony with God. Brethren, we can be in the truth for many years. Even at the end of our pilgrimage, we begin to learn the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Eternity will not be long enough to learn all that is to know of His glorious attribute. But being spiritual-minded Christian, the honor that someday, if faithful, we can see God face to face. Indeed, it is a precious home, and the things of this world for us have no value whatsoever. For us, the only way for which to walk, and that is the way of a full consecration. Full consecration. That's the only way of being able to see God face to face. Oh yes, we have problems, tribulations, difficulties. Do you think that our dear master for 3.5 years, he had an easy life? He didn't. For 3.5 years, there were 3.5 years of constant sacrifice, sufferings, and difficulty, oppositions. You know, sometimes, brother, I must confess to you. I have a confession to make. When I have an easy life in my life, I go to the Lord in prayer. I pray to the Lord, Lord, what has happened to me? The life is too easy. You know, one little experience, and I'll see the chairman is here. I wanted to share with you, to show my dear brethren, the loving care of Heavenly Father for us. We arrived when we went to South America to present the film for this course. When we arrived in Guadalajara, Mexico, we ran out of money. All the money is exhausted. And we wanted to show the film so bad in that city. We had all the tools, we had all the everything that, to present the film. I went to the Lord in prayer. I says, Lord, I talked to Him while I'm talking to you, Lord. You know that we don't have any money here. Show the way. Help us to find some way that we can show the film. We get up the next day. We begin to walk into city Guadalajara. And I felt like someone was pushing me to one direction. I was like another world. Couldn't see a thing. I couldn't see nothing. And we walked to this place there in the government building. And I explained to the gentleman there, I says, look, I says, we're from the United States. We wanted to see the film. We want to present the film so your people can see it's a beautiful film. I would try to be a little bit of a salesman to him. Well, he says, I don't know, he said, but I get somebody to help you. So we went to the second person. Second person, look, I can't help but I give you the name of a gentleman that you can see. But he said, it's very difficult for you to see the man because he's a very busy man, see. What we didn't know was that he was the gentleman in charge of all the government building. So we approached him. The lady says to me, do you have an appointment with the gentleman? No, we don't have any appointment with the gentleman, but we'd like to see. Well, you have long to wait. I said, look, we have no place to go. We wait. We waited for 2.5 hours. They finally came. We went in there. He said to me, "You speak Spanish with an Italian accent." "Yes, yes, I am Italian." I said, "Oh," he said, "good." He said, "Let's speak Italian." He said, come to find he was a Jew Mexican. He explained the situation, said we were not a place to see it, to show the film. Meantime, he's talking about Italy, talking about a place he has in Italy. "Look," as my friend said, "I'm not so interested in what you got in Italy. I want a horse." So he said, "Say, what are you worried about?" He says, "Well, it's, for you, it's just free." So he called up the planetarium. He talked over the telephone, the planetarium, and when that man talks, believe me, people jump. I never know he was the king fish there, so to speak. So he talked to the manager of the planetarium and said, "Look," he says, "I'm listening to the telephone, the conversation in Spanish, you know." He said, "Look, I'm going to send a couple friends. You do for them what they want you to do for them." When they were around the planetarium, the man would jump like a rabbit. He didn't know what to do for us, free of charge. And we had an audience of about 250 people that came over to see the film. So you see, my dear brethren, all we have to do is go to the Lord in our prayers, and He will find the answer for us. Let's hope, my dear brethren, that all of us, as we stand here today, we can see our Lord face to face. Perhaps we look on the right, and perhaps we see Paul. We look on the left, perhaps we see Peter. What a glorious reunion there will be when we'll be able to see our Lord face to face, our dear Master face to face, Paul and Peter, and we hope we see all of us, see all of you, dear brethren, face to face. May the Lord His blessing.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. And really, we thank Brother Panucci for his talk and for that little episode that he relayed to us. He always reminds me of Paul, who finds an answer to every given situation, and I rejoice in that.
Our loving, gracious, and heavenly Father, so thankful, Father, we come to Thee once again in our prayers to thank Thee, Father, for the many wonderful blessings which Thou have always provided for us. The privilege of the truth come to Thee, Father, is our Father, our loving Father. We thank Thee, Father, for this convention, for the brethren, and for the opportunity, Father, to be here with this dear brother like precious faith. It is our desire, Father, to see Thee face to face. And so, Father, we pray Thou help us to accomplish this, and to always have the spirit of humility in our hearts and minds, and help us, Father, to fail of our consecration, and to let nothing stand away, and be faithful until the end. Father, we pray for forgive us of our enemies, and we pray for the blessing upon the remainder of this convention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.